I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second hour, welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley with you. NCAA tournament rolling on. Florida up 53-32. This at halftime of the 116 matchup there. Kentucky's up 33-24 on Troy. About 2 minutes left in the first there. New Mexico, a five-point lead over Marquette. About 4 minutes, 44 seconds left in the first there. Arizona up early on Akron, 11-8. Oklahoma, UConn tonight. Xavier, Illinois. Bryant, Michigan State. Liberty, Oregon get the tip. Duke beat Mount St. Mary's today, 93-49. Robert Morris loses to Alabama, 90-81. Roll Tide. Iowa State beats Lipscomb 82-55. Maryland beats Grand Canyon 81-49. Oh, we have an upset. Colorado State 78, Memphis 70 in a 12-5 matchup. And was that a huge upset or not? That was Colorado State's 11th straight win. They won the Mountain West tournament. They won 10 straight before they even got to the NCAA tournament. So is that really an upset when 35% of 12s beat 5? I guess technically it's an upset, but I don't really think it was. North Carolina falls to Ole Miss, 71-64. North Carolina made it interesting, 22-point deficit. They got within 2 points of Ole Miss and then just couldn't shoot the basketball at all. Four straight possessions without scoring. St. Mary's beats Vanderbilt, 59-56. And Baylor beats Mississippi State, 75-72. The NFL's put out their proposals. It's what teams do. They set proposals. They send them out and see if the NFL is going to bite. Something that's forgotten that people in the national media won't talk about. They act like it never happened. It seems like it doesn't exist because the only thing that's brought up is when Mahomes wins the toss, Chiefs wins the toss, he goes down, scores, and Buffalo didn't get a chance to do it, and then the rule was changed. People forget that the exact same thing happened to the Chiefs before that happened. It was Tom Brady. The GOAT, right? Patriots win the toss. Brady comes down, scores the touchdowns. Mahomes didn't. D. Ford is offsides. Remember that game? Patriots
win. I was at that game.
Yeah, the Patriots win the game. You know what? The rules never changed, right? Nobody wanted to change at that point. But the minute the Chiefs get it, guess what? Everyone wants to change it. And so they did.
See, I think it was needed. I think the change was needed from a long time ago.
I'm with you on it. I mean, Chiefs have Mahomes. Why wouldn't they have a shot? They got to have a shot.
I like the new overtime rule. I saw, not to spoil your proposal, but I know one of the proposals is that one of the teams put in that they want the postseason overtime rules to be the regular season.
For regular season. I think it's fine. Everybody gets a shot at the foot. I think college football does it the best, but the 25, but you know. And then you have to go for two after the second overtime. I think that stuff's
great. I'd like to see that.
Speaking of that, by the way, some NFL news. Jameis Winston has found a new home. He is now the quarterback for the New York Giants. Will he start? I don't know. He could. He'd be battling. Says Jordan Schultz says signing Jameis Winston gives the Giants a veteran option who could start at any point, possibly even week one, while also mentoring a young quarterback if they draft one. I'll say this about Jameis. I don't know if you watched Jameis during the Super Bowl at all, like him going around. Dude's funny, man. Like he was like eating the W's and everything he was doing at Florida State. Jameis is a funny dude. Jameis has a big future in broadcasting, to be honest. Jameis Winston is freaking hilarious.
He is electric. And, you know, that's definitely what it tells me is with this signing, they're looking at, you know, who knows how the boards are going to fall, but if Cam Ward, whichever one, Ward or Sanders, is going to be there at pick 3, that kind of leans to where the Giants might be.
If you're able to mentor him, maybe you get a bye. But Brian Daboll should be looking both directions because he should have been fired before this year. Because, you know, I like Jameis a ton. That ain't your answer, man. And he's going to be there to mentor quarterbacks or whatever. That's fine. This is the NFL's problem. The NFL has a quarterback problem right now, a real quarterback problem. But anyway, some of the bylaws that were proposed. How about the tush push? How about the tush push? The tush push, Detroit wants to ban that. Of course, Philadelphia is the best at the tush push. Although we've seen other teams do it. Buffalo did it, but Josh Allen always runs to the left. The Chiefs were able to stop it. But just because you stop it doesn't mean you're always going to stop it. So Detroit wants the end of the tush push. I've gone both ways on this. Nobody was really hurt on it. Like, it's not a safety concern at all. So the NFL can't even go out there and say it's a safety concern at all. They just do it better than anybody else. They just do.
That can't it wasn't be a just reason Jason to ban the play. I mean, it's a play, and it's a good, effective for
it's,
a reason.
It's effective, and it works. So, you know, and the Chiefs, they could do it, but Mahomes dislocated his knee doing it. But he still picked up the first down. I do believe they would have done it in the Super Bowl. Mahomes has talked about that. Man, if he gets the chance in the Super Bowl, maybe he'll audible into it. So that was one of the proposals. Detroit was busy. They also put in Rule 8, Section 4, to eliminate the automatic first down as imposed by a penalty for defensive holding illegal contact. I like this rule. Because one thing you hate is when someone's got illegal contact and it's a first down. Automatic first down. Like, if it's 5 yards or whatever, give them 5 yards, but don't give them the first down. I like this. Like, I like this rule. Green Bay, this is Green Bay, to prohibit an offensive player from pushing a teammate who was lined up dry. Okay, it was Green Bay, not Detroit. It was Green Bay that wanted the elimination of the tush push. I'm shocked. Most people probably thought it was the Chiefs that did this. No, they didn't. Even though they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, they didn't propose this. It was Green Bay that did it. I don't know why I was saying Detroit. Detroit was busy on this. They did several, but that was not one of them.
I was kind of surprised to hear it was the Packers. I was like, when did they – I guess the did they get burnt by it week one?
I think everybody has at some point. They don't run it as much, Jordan Love. Philadelphia, by the way, put out one to align the postseason and regular season overtime rules by granting both teams an opportunity, like you were talking about, and we've discussed that. That's perfect sense. Like, I'm down with most of these. The Detroit one, really, I am, the non-first down. And also, like, pass interference to me should be 15 yards, not a spot foul down,
like
all the
school.
Way down the football. Yeah, it should be 15 yards. That's neither here nor there. The playoff, Detroit was active again to seed teams by how they finished rather than if you're a division winner. Because we've seen division wins, like we've seen the NFC South at times, you know, be right at 500 and get that home playoff game, change that. Pittsburgh put out to, during the two-day negotiation period, to have one video or phone call with the prospective unrestricted free agent and his player agent and permit clubs to arrange players' travel upon agreeing in terms. So during the two-day legal tampering, because if you don't have an agent, you can talk to whoever. Or you've been outright released, you can talk to whenever, but you become free agents when the league year does. So that two-day period, the legal tampering where they talk to the agents, they want it to be where they can talk on the phone to one guy. I have no problem with that. You know it's done anyway, but I have no problem with that.
What are your thoughts kind of deeper into that Detroit seeding thing? Because I've been back and forth on it because it is kind of weird to see a team that's right at 500 versus, you know, the Vikings be there in the sixth seed with the 13 wins, you know, being the underdog.
I don't like it. I always think that if you had a better record, you're all basically playing the same teams anyway, same quality teams, the NFL. You know, I'm more for that than if you're just the division winner. But I can go either way on that one, to be honest with you. These other ones I actually like, because they're not really changing the game too much or making the game better. And also Detroit puts out here as well to exclude from the 90-player limit placed on reserved into reserve. I always thought nowadays half of them come back. I always thought if you're hurt, you got to be able to come back anyway. That's just the way things should be. So Pittsburgh's deal. And also Washington put out there to permit clubs that may qualify for the postseason to obtain scouting credentials for two consecutive games, week 17 and 18, played by a potential postseason opponent. Also requires clubs hosting wildcard games to provide scouting credentials to all teams within the same conference who are participating in the postseason. Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, Vegas, Minnesota, and Philly, and Washington have proposed clubs to prepare kicking footballs before game day, similar to the process permitted for game footballs. Last year, it was talked about. It was never done. The onside kick's got to be something that's got to be done with it, because the success rate on that was nothing. Because you have to identify when you're going to do it. And the onside kick is a big part of football, and they took it away, and that sucks. I mean, yeah, you can do it, but you got to let them know you're doing it. Part of the fun was when a team came out in the second half and runs an onside kick, because you're not expecting it. You always have to be prepared for the onside kick. It has been instrumental for teams in AFC, NFC title games, Super Bowls, you name it, people have done it.
You know, I get why they had to change it because of the new way that the kickoff is aligned.
And I hate that too. Just move the kicker back. If you're that worried you want returns, move the kicker back.
It's a terrible rule. It's unfortunate that the onside kick, I mean, the success rates were already so low, and now you make it even lower by giving the receiving team or the hands team an opportunity to be notified that it's going to happen. Like you said, half of it was the surprise.
It's part of the strategy of football. And so I was never, you know, a big fan of them changing that rule, because that's just part of football, man, being able to surprise kick. It's just like now, you know, there's going to be a push to, and you haven't really seen it yet, but you will, a push to kind of limit these quarterback salaries that they think are getting out of control, right, with their paying quarterbacks. Because guys like Dak Prescott are going out there and getting $60 million. You know, quarterbacks are getting paid a premium. You knew Sam Darnold was going to get a ton of money because, well, there's not any other quarterbacks out there, so of course he was going to get the cash. But there's a quarterback problem, and what they do want to do is put kind of a cap on what the quarterbacks can make so it doesn't keep getting completely out of control. But if I'm the Chiefs, you're 100% against this, because you've paid Patrick Mahomes more than any quarterback that counts against a salary cap that's won a Super Bowl. You paid him more. You've paid your quarterback, and you're still winning. That puts the onus on the front office. That makes the draft even tougher for teams. And the Chiefs have figured out a way to do it. They figured out a way to do it. So I'm okay with changing the game, but the kickoff thing is stupid. I didn't like the kickoffs this year. I want it to go back the way it was, and I'd like the onside kick to be back where it was. Tush push, all that. All these other rules, I'm good with. And the personal foul or whatever, I'm good with that too, on pass interference. And two credentials, I don't care. Again, that doesn't change the game. But there's so many things that I'd like to see changed in the NFL. But I'm actually all good with some of those, because they don't change the game. And I'm good with not changing the game. Coming up next, though, give you an update on the tournament games played right now. Plus, what do you do if you're the Kansas City Chiefs? What direction do you want to see them go on draft night? We'll discuss all that next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley After Hours. Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Less than 1 week away from opening day. Finally, man, let's get some baseball to talk about every day. Let's get some baseball to watch, some real baseball when it counts. As far as the NCAA tournament, 68-46, Florida over Norfolk State, 14-23 left in the second. Kentucky up by 8 over Troy at halftime. New Mexico 35, Marquette 32. Akron down to Arizona 25-16. Those are the games currently going on. Not a lot of madness. Not a lot of madness. Hopefully there is for the night slate tonight. And, of course, you'll get treated to the games this weekend. Can't go see games between Kansas and Missouri anymore. It would have been fun. Do you ever go to any local watering hole or establishment at all, Jacob? Is there one of your sports go-to places, maybe football, or I know you like watching disc golf, or is there any place that you go that'll play things you want to see?
You know, I'm good to go to any like food restaurants that have screens down just to see people at the bar cheering and stuff. So like, you know, Texas Roadhouse, Applebee's, B-Dubs, you know, we had a little area to watch stuff up at college. So I'm kind of, you know, moving back down and out of that area now. So I don't have that watch party area anymore. Me and a couple buddies will get together and for like the Super Bowl, we always do at my buddy Ethan's house. And we watch football, all the Super Bowls since I think we started that during the Chiefs Bucks Super Bowl. So we've done it pretty much every year since then.
Well, that's fine if you get together and do that. I know if a lot of people get together for fantasy football and get together with the whoever's on your teams and you meet at Buffalo Wild Wings or wherever and you sit there and have your draft. That's fun. I always thought sports bars, you got to have good Wi-Fi. It's got to be something like that, which nowadays doesn't necessarily matter as much. But if you have that, it's definitely a plus. Definitely have to have food specials because people will choose another place. They will. If you don't have great food specials or beer specials, they will leave and go to another place. Some bars kind of know it, and they got to have the bartender know which game's on or where the Masters is being played. You got to know this stuff without, you know, having to go ask somebody which game. No, you need to know which games are on which TVs because that's why people are probably going to a sports bar because to watch certain games on TV. I know that I did. A certain place that I would go during the Spectrum fight with ESPN, Disney Corporation. I still have that to watch football games because it's easy to go to all the games and all the channels. And they had a fight with them when they pulled in the ESPN network, including SEC Network off, so you couldn't watch games, and that sucked. And you'd go to a sports bar, and you don't want to sit there all day because that's what you'd be doing, sitting there and eating nachos and food and drinking beer. And you like get tired at a certain point. So you're kind of glad when they got things settled and you didn't have to go do that all the time. But everybody's got their own sports bar they kind of like. But I think knowing which games are on is very important because nothing more frustrating than saying, hey, can you flip this game on or whatever. They have no idea what you're talking about or no idea how to change that channel. Somebody knows, though. Usually the bartender knows or something, but they better not be as busy because if they're busy, it's going to be tough to get that information through. But when you walk in, you go to your place familiar with, but you better have specials on food and beer. People make their choices to go other places to spend their money. It's actually not that hard. So some are good when it comes to NFL ticket, where certain teams will take over a restaurant or bar, and that's where they're going to have the games on each week. There's those places in the city where there's Buffalo fans or Pittsburgh, you name it. There's usually a fan group that'll go, and you can find those online pretty easily. But I love when you go in a place and it's got which games are on which TV. There's a menu right when you walk in, so you know exactly. If you're a Vikings fan, you can go right over to the TV. Everything's marked, and you know which TV to go over with. I think that's important. I've done that before in other cities, and I think it's a lot of fun. So hopefully that can help in Kansas City as well. Draft is coming up in Green Bay. I love it. I love the fact they move this thing around. I'm glad that towns like Green Bay get the draft. I'm glad that towns like Kansas City get the NFL draft. I'm sure, you know, Dallas, LA, fine, they get Super Bowls though. So put this thing in cities that don't get the Super Bowl. Very simple. Chicago, Philly, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Green Bay. They're not going to get the Super Bowl, so you might as well give them the NFL draft. But the mock drafts lately, they were hot and heavy on offensive line early on. You start to see them filter away a little bit. I always get excited when it's people going defensive line because I think that's where the Chiefs go. But what do you go? They address corner, getting Fulton in. Got your left tackle and Jalen Moore at this point. Not a huge fan of bringing back Juju because I think he's going to battle for a camp spot because hopefully there's a couple wide receivers taken in this year's draft. Kareem Hunt kind of, you know, became that go-to guy because you didn't trust Pacheco on the short yardage run, so it's Kareem Hunt. But is that really a bell cow you want each and every game? Well, having a full training camp under his belt, go, he is getting up there in age, but he was fine last year, and he's good on the short yardage. Or do you want a back? Because this draft is loaded with running backs. I would hate for the Chiefs to go through this draft and not get a running back. But what are the positions that you desperately want? Who would you want? I seriously, not in the first round, I'd still go defensive line, which is crazy because I've been all receivers all the time. But I don't think the quality of wide receiver is going to be there at the end of the first round. I do think they need him because last year you went into a season and lost Rice for the year. You lost Hollywood Brown essentially, played a little bit towards the end. So you basically went for most of the season, good chunk of the season without your one and two. and you put all that pressure on your rookie, Xavier Worthy, to step up and do his damage, which that was your leading receiver in the postseason. Travis Kelce starting to get up there in age, although last year still had 97 catches. So he's getting up there, certainly not getting any younger. Is this offense going to be the St. Joe Chiefs again? Because St. Joe Chiefs were throwing the ball downfield, scoring touchdowns at will. They were throwing deep, and it looked like, oh, man, this exciting offense is coming back. But you don't want the same cast of characters, because the same cast of characters were out there last year, and they're a year older. Same cast of characters weren't putting teams away. You were relying on winning one-score games. You were good at doing it, but it always doesn't go your way. That's football, man. It doesn't always go your way. Make it easy. You're only going to have Patrick Mahomes one time in your career. I doubt that Chiefs have a quarterback drafted anytime else that has three Super Bowls before he's 29. I doubt that happens. If it happens, great. Perfect. Remember how long the Chiefs went without a quarterback? You know, yeah, there was Trent Greens and stuff like that to put up good numbers and all that, but Alex Smith and all that, but really talking about winning the ring. Long way between Dawson and Mahomes. Long time, several generations growing up during that time. They went 21 years without winning a playoff game. But the draft has become end-all, be-all. It's what separates teams from winning and losing. It's why Philadelphia won the SB this year. They drafted well. They took advantage of people not taking Jalen Carter because they thought about character concerns and didn't do it, and they did it at pick 9. They've done it with their draft. The Chiefs did it with their draft. They've drafted well. Trey McDuffie, great pick. Nick Bolton ended up being a great pick. Trey Smith in the 6th round, you kidding me, would be a 1st rounder now. Creed Humphrey in the 2nd, he'd be a 1st rounder now. But that's, unfortunately, that stuff costs you money later on, but you're right in the draft. Mike Dana didn't go to the combine. He's been productive for the Chiefs. Turk Wharton wasn't even drafted. It's what you got to do. But the draft, very important this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, they've got 3 picks in the 7th round. Not wild about that. You'd like to see them early, although that 3rd round pick is pick 66. It's the 2nd pick of the 3rd round. The rest of them at the end of it, at the end of the rounds. So really, most general managers just give 12 to 15 first round grades, and the rest are kind of a crapshoot, basically second rounders, but they do. That's why Trent McDuffie, that's why they were made that move to go down and get Trent McDuffie when they did and jumped over the Bills that wanted to draft probably Trent McDuffie, and they settled with Kyrie Elam. He's not even on the team anymore. They got rid of him. But that's the direction they went. Chiefs had a first-round grade on Trent McDuffie, and he started sliding. It's like one of the guys they had first-round grades on, so they moved up and got him. It was smart. You got to be smart, and that's what the Chiefs have done in the front office. I'm very, very curious about which direction they're going to go in this NFL draft. NFL.com put out team needs. Speaking of team needs, which direction they go, feel free to text them in, 913-586-7965. Let you know what NFL.com is saying. Plus, at the end of the hour, we'll get to some ballpark food. The Royals have some new things to go try at the K this year, and some of them pretty interesting, my friend. I think I'd like them, but NFL team needs next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard producing the operation. I am ready for opening day. Got the some new food items at the K this year. You plan on going the opening day? Are you going to watch it with your crew?
For what now?
You going to watch opening day? You going to it?
No, probably not.
Well, last year the Royals 12-1 against the White Sox. Play your divisional teams 13 times, but Detroit is on a team that's trajectories going forward. Cleveland, you never know. They always seem to be good. Minnesota, they're down, then they're always up. So you always got to worry about Minnesota as well. So, yes, the Royals are right there, but everybody else is right there as well. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait till Jack Caglione gets called up by the Royals. Dude, smash the ball. I can't wait till the summertime whenever they decide to call him up because it's going to be fun. Can't wait to go watch Bobby, Sal, Massey, the whole crew, just Isbell. By the way, Massey and Isbell will be at Vern at Hollywood Casino on the 28th. make sure you get tickets for that. Come out and see the round table there, because Vern's always great for whatever he does. Dude loves Royals baseball inside and out. The guy's the best baseball analyst in the business. I asked the text line which direction they'd go as far as to the draft, and they'd be looking at corner or safety as well. I'm okay with corner. I was more for corner. Originally, our first mock, when we did an NFL with Savon Ravel, we had the Chiefs going corner from East Carolina because he was hurt most of the year, but he's coming back. Everybody likes him. He's big, tall, lanky, makes plays, can set the edge, can do a lot of different things. Safety, not so early. I mean, I've seen the Chiefs mock safeties in the first round. I think that's way too early to deal with safety. I know that Reed's gone, but Jaden Hicks was going to be the heir apparent for Reed for this team. That's why they went out and drafted him. He went way too late. He's the guy that would have gone much earlier, too. Dane Brugler, his beast, he puts out one of the best mock draft guides. He had him as actually the best safety in the draft. Chiefs actually able to get him later on and not waste a first or second round pick on Jaden Hicks. Jaden Hicks will end up filling that void. Cook's coming back. So safety's something I think they can get later on. It's a dime a dozen with safeties in the league. But NFL.com put it out as far as their team needs, and I actually agree with this. This is put out by Dan Parr from NFL.com. He's actually put out some reasonable stuff, much more reasonable than Mike Bond that we read earlier. Biggest needs, defensive line, one, 100% agree. Two, offensive line, yes, that does need to be shored up, but they kind of addressed that through free agency, at least somewhat. Edge, 100% agree with. So defensive line and edge in the top three needs. Then safety and then wide receiver. I don't think the need for safeties right there. Shamari Connor can maybe move back to more safety now. Trent McDuffie will move into the slot with Fulton here. And I think that'll be better. Shamari Connor is a Swiss Army knife that can play nickel corner. He can play safety, can do a lot of different things for you. But wide receiver, he's got fifth on here as need. I think it's an earlier need, man. I think it's earlier need. Can you imagine this year going without your one and two? I mean, there's a good chance that Rashee Rice is suspended some games this year. Didn't happen last year. See how the court case goes. I hope it's nothing, but it probably will be at least four games if he pleads it down. So you're going to miss a month of that. And then what happens if you have another injury to Hollywood or anybody else? Then what do you do? Then you're sitting there in Xavier Worthy, year two. Now, he stepped up and started to really understand where he was, inbounds or not, catching the football. And he is a guy that's better than what people think he is, which is a one-trick pony with speed and 4.21 speed and combine freak and all that. He did lead Texas in yards and receptions for three straight years. Two of those 3 years he led in touchdowns. So he's definitely more than nine-rounder vertical route guy. He can run everything. His route tree's pretty full. I'd go that direction. If I'm the Chiefs, definitely go wide receiver. Justin Watson's now a member of the Houston Texans. They can't rely on that, and that wasn't the answer anyway. But you always got to be thinking of backups, man. And it's not Juju because he knows the offense. I mean, Juju had some good games last year, but you go back and watch him, and a lot of times, like, who was covering him? Like, who was on him? Like, a lot of times wide open or the drops or something like that. So, yeah, it's fine because the guy knows the offense, but is that really the answer of explosiveness for this team? No, it's not. Like, I'm excited to actually see what Rice, Brown, and Worthy can do on this field at the same time. Rice is one of those guys that'll do everything. He eats up the middle of the field a lot like Kelce will. He does a lot of that dirty work. Going downfield, the home run hitters, you got Brown and you got Worthy. And the expectations are that now it's the Chargers, once again, the sexy pick, to win the division. That ought to really be bothering the Chiefs. I mean, they seem like a focus group. Mahomes out there, he cut the hair now, he's ready to roll. They're keeping quiet, they're keeping low profiles. The Chiefs are, you don't really see them all over the place anymore, trying to, you know, just stick to business. So what they're doing, it's what makes them scary when they're sticking to business, which there's a lot of crap being said about them in the national media. It's almost like they forgot they went to the Super Bowl. And there was a lot of junk being talked about by teams that didn't make the Super Bowl. Yes, they got smoked, but you know what? At least they went. And there's a lot of teams in the AFC didn't get to go. You know, Josh Allen got his MVP. The NFL awards ceremony was once again filled with people that weren't Kansas City Chiefs. That happened. Chips on the shoulder. Should. Chargers, once again, a lot of people picking them to win the division. 9 straight for the Chiefs. The record's 11 with the Patriots. Can the Chiefs get to that mark? I think so. Mahomes only lost 1 road division game, by the way. 1. This team has been very good against the division. Andy Reid has dominated this division. So much so that teams can't figure them out. The Raiders? Chiefs are 13-2 in their last 15. 17-3 in their last 20. Chargers, 10-2 in the last 12. They've won 7 straight. 19-3 in the last 22. They've won last 7. They're 17-2 in the last 19 against the Broncos. Of course, one of those was the throwaway game where the backups played. It wasn't even Mahomes. And they'd beaten them 16 times in a row before that. So they've dominated this division. Andy Reid's had ownership on this division. But you got to be explosive, and you got to keep changing who and what you are. A couple years ago, people thought they figured out the Chiefs' offense. I mean, they still led the NFL in points per drive, so they're still doing something well. But they've seen everything. Everything possible that's going to be thrown at them has been thrown at them to slow them down. And last year, they had to kind of change who and what they were. I mean, Reid does deserve credit for that, and a lot of credit, because he changed who and what this team is, because what the St. Joe Chiefs were was open the field up, throw downfield, wide open offense. But then it was changed when all of a sudden Hollywood Brown's hurt in the first play of the preseason against the Jaguars. Things changed. And then when Rice goes down as well, it became, oh boy, move the football, move the sticks, move the chains. And one of the problems was not running with explosive players. Now they've had the players that maybe could do it, right? Isaiah Pacheco ran a 4.37 at the combine. He's got that breakaway speed. Of course, he's not picked in the 7th round, and people thought he could do a lot more during the game between the hashes. But guys like him, he's got to step up. The role is just not his. Just not given to him. And I know they brought in Elijah Mitchell from San Francisco. Didn't have to overpay him. Was hurt all last year. Still, it's a 4.33 pro day guy. So again, it's speed guy, and he's got some power too. So the Chiefs definitely want that home run hitter. They want that explosiveness from the running back position. But I hope they can get more wide open. Put teams away. Because the most frustrating things when it comes down to the end. Yes, they win those games, which is the mark of a champion. It's that culture. It's that pedigree, winning close games. But it's the NFL. It doesn't always work that way. You'd like to see them put teams away. And the same group and the same cast of characters, you expect that team to put teams away? They haven't done it before. So, yeah, there's guys coming back on this team. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Smith and Bolton and those guys. I'm okay with that. Juju, want new talent in here, man. Make it difficult to get on the field. You know, change your running back situation up. You definitely got to work on the offensive line, but there's not a lot of things you can do with the offensive line because it's basically the same group minus a tackle who has 5 NFL starts and a left guard that's not going to be as good as Joe Tooney. Just not. So, yeah, there's some concerns there, but through the draft, you can do some damage. Through the draft, you can get some explosive players. Definitely think they had to have a wide receiver. Always do. You got Patrick Mahomes. Why not give him the talent and the weapons around him? It wasn't bad to give Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. That didn't suck. That was kind of nice, being able to have those kind of weapons out there. It's okay to have other weapons. And Hollywood Brown, yeah, it's great that he's coming back. The Chiefs, even though they didn't go crazy with bringing a ton of free agents that you know, they still went out and they brought in Bolton back, brought Trey Smith back. You know, there were guys that were brought back. And they were important. They counted. Fulton, again, these signings may make sense. And you look at the draft and think, all right, this may change the direction they go in the draft. Not a lot. They bring in Jerry Tillery for the defensive line for rotation purposes because going into the season, they had Chris Jones under contract for interior defensive line. That was it. But yeah, the draft is where they make the difference. We're not paying the guys the high amounts. That's why San Francisco jettisons all their players. I mean, San Francisco losing everybody. Why? Because they have a contract for the quarterback on the horizon. And that's the thing. They were able to get to the Super Bowl, but not able to win it against the Chiefs. And that window closed, man. You don't have Debo anymore. You don't have this. The contracts, you start catching up with you. And when you got to pay your quarterback, are you still going to be able to win? Again, the Chiefs have found a way to pay their quarterback and still been able to win. A lot of these teams, they got to the Super Bowl with a 7th round Mr. Relevant pick they're hardly paying any money to. So they were able to afford paying everybody else because they didn't have to pay their quarterback. Didn't win it, didn't push through, didn't close that window and win that Super Bowl. Chiefs, they just keep things running. It's an entirely different team. Since Mahomes is third, entirely different team, except for Jones and Kelsey. Yeah, Winchester was here. Butker started before Mahomes did. That's it. Butker came the same year Mahomes did, but Mahomes didn't play that first year. So I'm just curious which direction you guys would go. I mentioned new food at the ballpark. Major league teams are catching up to minor league ballparks as far as food is concerned. I'll let you know what they're going to be unveiling out at the K this year. And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jacob Nustard, producing the operation. Florida 89, Norfolk State 63. 3 minutes left in that game. That's about done. 51-39, Kentucky over Troy. New Mexico Marquette, that's the game of the night. It's 43-40, New Mexico over Marquette. They're the 10th seed, Marquette the 7th seed. 15-53 left in the second. Arizona by 10 over Akron. And later we have Oklahoma, UConn, Xavier, Illinois, Bryant, Michigan State, 12-5 matchup, Liberty and Oregon. Told you, 35% almost comes out to one a year. With 12s beating the 5, we've already seen it twice, but it's not that much of a stretch. 35% of the time, it happens. Duke won earlier today. Alabama won earlier today. Iowa State. Maryland, Colorado State, that 12-5 upset. Speaking of that, they beat Memphis, even though that was their 11th straight win. Don't know how big an underdog Colorado State is. They win the Mountain West Conference Championship as well. So, yeah, upset, sure. Ole Miss, 71. North Carolina, 64. North Carolina came storming back in this game in the second half. They were down 22. Got within two, but then things just weren't there because they couldn't make a shot down the stretch. St. Mary's beat Vanderbilt. And Baylor beat Mississippi State. Can't wait for football again, brother. I know. It's like, what are you talking about all season? Well, it's the NFL offseason, man. I remember a couple years ago, NFL legal tampering happened right when the brackets came out. Legal tampering was like on a Monday and Tuesday. The brackets came out Sunday. Everybody's talking about the NFL. Like right in front of the NCAA March Madness. Boom. Talking about that. People watch it. People care about it. They talk about the NFL. The NFL has got it where now it's basically 12 months a year. Because as soon as the Super Bowl ends in February, you start looking ahead to the combine. Then you start looking forward to the draft. Then as soon as you draft, then you get the rookie mini camps, and you got OTAs, and all of a sudden you're back in training camp. It goes fast. And then it's the regular season, and we all know how much fun we have in that. I'm curious how people will act if the Chiefs, if you got to that point where you expect division titles every year, if you got to the point where you're expecting to go to the Super Bowl every year, or do we take it for granted? There's a lot of times. A little bit of both. There's a lot of times, my friend. There's a lot of times where the Chiefs, before this run, they only made the AFC title game once in my lifetime. 94. That loss in Buffalo. That's it. That was it.
Well, I mean,
now it's like what you have all the time.
A good team. It's a good feeling, that's for sure.
Oh, and these kids growing up here, man, it's probably all I think we do is win.
See,
Royals
I know.
Won in 15. What Sporting had won before that. The Chiefs won 3. I mean, it's not always been this way.
No, and see, I'm on the other side because I don't know if you knew I'm a Patriots fan, actually.
Yeah, you told me last time.
Some people know that who have listened, and
it's okay.
You know, I don't let that bias come in a lot, but you know, I'm on that aspect of rebuild mode now. So,
got to rebuild it. Baseball, the Royals, your team. I hope.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, here's what they're putting. They're finally putting the Z-Man out there from Oklahoma Joe. Z-Man sandwich can be out there. It's gonna be very popular. That's new out there. The Slugger Dog. That's going to be chorizo top with manchego, tempura butter, Doritos Cool Ranch crust, and an avocado aioli. Doritos Cool Ranch crust sounds pretty good. Like Doritos Cool Ranch crust, anything, but you're making the crust with that, I'll try it. Like I would eat that. And then the blue velvet whoopie pies. You ever had the old whoopie pie? It's like these marshmallowish type cookie type things with this creamy stuff in the middle of fluff.
I can't say I have.
That's not a bad choice. You can get that at Rivals, I guess, out at the Royals games. That's it. But You look around the league, and it's like the boomstick down at the Texas Rangers games at Big Time Hot Dog. More people are doing creative things. It used to be just the minor leagues. You had to go to the minor leagues to get creative food. It's like a gourmet experience going to a major league game nowadays. Better bring your wallet, too. It's getting expensive for food. And, yeah, people were going crazy earlier because there was some meme that was going around about the Mets giving away or doing called the dog bucket, which is 12 hot dogs in a bucket. They're not really doing that. That was fake, but people thought they were doing it. I will say this, though. The New York Yankees had something that I definitely want. It was tiramisu in a helmet with a ton of, like, cocoa, like, flakes on top of it. Like, that would be damn good. Like, tiramisu in a baseball helmet? Sign me up for that. I mean, ballpark used to just be going out and getting the nachos, the cotton candy, you know, drinking your Coke or drinking your beer. It's become much different going to the ballpark now. Much different. It's become an exquisite thing. What, they have waiter and waiter service at different places, Diamond Club, Crown Club, you name it, going down there. But going to baseball games has definitely changed. It used to be you go in the minor leagues, you'd get the good food because they'd have to have good food choices for you to go to the game. But now Major League Baseball, you can go out and do that. So good stuff there. I'll get to this later on, but Larry, I lost some really good people in the broadcast world this week. I'll get to that later. But coming up next, though, we'll look at the NCAA tournament, fill you in on the scores that are going on there. Plus, we'll take a look at the offseason. And really, where would we put the Chiefs? Are you happy with the offseason right now? Have they done enough before they get to the draft? We'll discuss that next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.